I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Squawk 7000, bringing you a roundup of aviation news for this week starting October 24th. The headlines and news are brought to you in association with Flying in Ireland. I'm Michael Cummin. In the headlines this week, a new interim CEO for the aviation regulator and the state of mental well-being in aviation is discussed at a conference in Dublin. Ireland leads the way in the development of drone aviation, and Mark Dwyer reports from Croke Park at the Pilot Careers Live exhibition. And he has a few tips for those attending assessment interviews. The first Aer Lingus flight to Miami for 2.5 years took off from Dublin Airport shortly after 4 o'clock last Friday. The route will operate 3 times weekly as part of the airline's winter schedule, with departures from Dublin on Fridays, Sundays and Wednesdays. The return of the Aer Lingus Dublin to Miami service closely follows the recent announcement of Cleveland, Ohio, and the return to Hartford, Connecticut, both of which will operate as part of the airline's summer 2023 programme. Aer Lingus operates 16 direct routes between Ireland and North America, including New York, Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Orlando, Washington, Seattle and Philadelphia. The airline is the only carrier offering direct flights between Ireland and Miami. The Irish Aviation Authority has announced the appointment of Declan Fitzpatrick as Interim Chief Executive Officer for the Aviation Regulator. These appointments follow the decision of the current Aviation Regulator CEO, Diarmaid O'Connolly, to leave the IA at the end of October and take up a new role as Managing Director of Wizz Air Malta. Diarmaid announced his resignation in early August. Well, Declan Fitzpatrick has 16 years of regulatory experience with the IAA and is currently the Director of Regulatory Performance and Innovation. The government plans to separate the IAA's air navigation service into a new organisation. At the same time, it will dissolve the Consumer Watchdog, the Commission for Aviation Regulation, and merge it with the IAA's Industry Regulatory Division. The shake-up will create a new single aviation regulator responsible for safety, security, economic regulation, passenger rights and travel trade licensing. Last Saturday, the Pilot Careers live show was held at Croke Park. Mark Dwyer was there for Flying in Ireland and Squawk 7000. But shortly, Mark talks with Captain Carl O'Neill of Aer Lingus about their pilot selection process. But first, he spoke with the event organiser, Ian Seeger.
My name's Ian Seeger. I've been running Pilot Careers Live for something over 25 years now. It's changed names throughout those years, but we're really glad to be back here in Dublin. Dublin was the last show we did pre-COVID, so we run Dublin and we had to shut everything down, so it's really good to be back. It's kind of quite, there's a lot of symbolism for us in it, for the team really. One of the things I've noticed over the last year or so since we've been gradually coming back is there has been a change in people have become a little bit more circumspect about becoming commercial pilots. They're looking and go, it's quite a significant investment. And it's an industry that's a little bit like a roller coaster. And I think the industry as a whole, airlines as a whole, could do a lot more in terms of promoting the career, not just on the flight deck, but throughout the whole aviation, airport infrastructure, air traffic control infrastructure. And I think, you know, we need something to smooth out those highs and lows.
And in terms of who's coming here today, who are the target audience?
In terms of visitors, yep. The idea was that, I mean, as you know, the decision to embark on commercial flight training is a complex decision. There's an awful lot of decisions that you have to make. So the target audience is really people at the beginning of that journey trying to figure out the right answers. And the one thing that we try and do, that we kind of pride ourselves in hoping that people, when they leave here, are smarter or know more and take better informed decisions than they would before they got here. And so people are able to come in, ask a lot of questions, stand back, have a think about it, go and ask some more questions and take informed decisions and find the pathway that's right for them. There is no single pathway that's right for every single person.
Captain Carl O'Neill is my name. I am the chief instructor of the ATO at Aer Lingus, and I also look after pilot recruitment. We're delighted to be here today at the Pilot Careers Live in Dublin. It's great to see it back after almost a three-year hiatus. I suppose the things we're looking for is we just have a direct entry pilot campaign in play at the moment, and we've been oversubscribed really with applicants. I think it's probably the bounce after COVID which has done this, but it's great to see the interest in the industry and indeed in piloting still alive and well. And we're going through all those applications at the moment, and we'll be moving on to assessment centres now in the next couple of weeks throughout probably late November. And what those entail is a morning of group assessments and group exercises, followed by a panel interview, which is an interesting interview because you'll be with three other candidates in a room with an assessment team discussing some somewhat controversial topics. And it always gives a little bit of, gives us a good insight into how people deal with each other. And it's a very important part of our process. Moving on to the afternoon, then we do a two-on-one interview with a HR professional and a pilot, which looks after the person's CV, their background, their experience, their motivation to be part of Aer Lingus and to fly, and then a technical interview with a pilot. And those technical questions are always graded as such. If you're an Airbus rated pilot, we're going to talk to you about an Airbus. If you're a Boeing pilot or whatever, we'll talk to you about Boeing or general flying or procedures, etc. And if you're straight out of a flight school, deal with ATPL type questions. So they're all consummate with your experience level. Success of that then would lead you on to a simulator assessment in our Airbus A320 simulator, and then subject to medical and reference check, etc. We make offers following a decision of what we call final board, where the senior management team in the flight operations department sit around and assess all the candidates. So yeah, that's our process and what we hope to do over the next couple of weeks.
And you mentioned in your presentation that you're involved in the delivery of the new A320neo. How do you find that? What's it like to fly?
Yeah, I was very lucky and fortunate to go and get it. It ended up being our second one. It was supposed to be our first one, so I got gazumped by my friend who's the chief instructor on the 320 to bring the first one into Dublin. But yeah, beautiful aircraft to fly. We kind of, I suppose from piloting terms, it flies very similar to the 320 COs, but I think that the thing you really feel when you get into it is the sound. Is just, it is so quiet. I mean, I believe it's 50% more quiet than the CO, and the fuel figures are just incredible. I mean, it's almost unnerving the amount of less fuel we're burning. It's extraordinary to sit there and watch this aircraft do the exact same job with a 20, I think the number is 23% fuel saving, which, in these times where everyone's trying to be sustainable and green and whatever else, it's a really brilliant airplane for us to be introducing into the fleet.
Mark Casey, CEO, Head of Training and founder of Atlantic Flight Training Academy. We're based at Cork and Waterford, where we are now. We're at 21 aircraft, 5 Diamond DA-42s and 15 G1000 Cessna 172s and the M260 T67 Slingsby Firefly for our advanced upset prevention and recovery training.
So today you're here as a partner school for Ryanair for the mentor program. Can you tell me a bit about that and the various gateways available?
Yeah, they have a number of partner schools. We were the first. We've been working with Ryanair, not exclusively, but a lot of our graduates would have joined Ryanair down through the evolution of the business. And the growth of Ryanair, has been fantastic for our company. They've always been hugely supportive of graduates from AFTA. So there's a long history of graduates from AFTA joining Ryanair. We decided probably about 5 years ago to put more structure on it and to kind of embed a lot of the culture, philosophy, SOPs, training DNA that has made Ryanair so safe and so successful into cadets from the get-go. Ultimately, that's paid dividends. The feedback from the training management in Ryanair is that the mentor program, really what it's done is we've introduced a lot of the procedures into the training profiles for the cadets from their first flying lesson. A lot of their briefings are kind of first principles for the cadets. They're not coming to Ryanair having learned a different way, having been shown a different way to do it. A lot of airlines, you know, will have slightly different philosophies on how they fly their aircraft, and it could be the same aircraft type. Ryanair have a system, you know, they're a very, very large organization operating over 500 aircraft with huge diversity in the personnel flying those aircraft, you know, from different parts of the world, from all over the world. Because their system is so rigid and strict, structured and comprehensive, you know, it keeps the operation on a very kind of controlled pathway from, you know, takeoff to touchdown. So by introducing those procedures at an early stage to the cadets, the feedback we're getting is that from the training department and the training management at Ryanair is that it gives the instructors in Ryanair more capacity to, you know, bring them to the next level during their training. So they're not just getting the bare minimum training. The trainers in the airline, because they've been taught the first principles very well during their flight training and can focus on more advanced kind of input that would probably too much for a cadet that hadn't seen or hadn't been mentored. So that's the main advantage of the mentored program. It also gives the airline visibility on a competent and capable pipeline of pilots well into the future.
Mark Casey there, talking with Mark Dwyer at the Pilot Careers live show, and we'll return to the show shortly. Ryanair say they're committed to continuing its Kerry to Dublin flights. According to the airline, it's a fundamental route for the airline in Ireland. There's been some criticism locally of the Kerry to Dublin flight times. The low-cost carrier began operating the service commercially last July and has flights twice daily. Dublin is one of seven destinations Ryanair flies to from Kerry Airport. Ryanair say they have no immediate plans to change the times, but they are committed to the route. Last Friday, the European Aviation Wellbeing Conference was held at the Radisson Hotel at Dublin Airport. The focus of the conference was on dissecting, exploring and understanding the practical side of well-being, which is still not fully understood and still perceived as a complex concept by many. Valentina Fitzpatrick, the founder and chairperson of the EAWC, explained the conference's objectives to me when I met her.
For me, the most important things was to reduce the gap between regulators, organisations and individuals, bring them together as one and talk about well-being, talk about the subject that the industry is most fearful at the moment, that they're more necessary at the moment.
I mean, it was interesting to hear some of the panel talk about the fact that the regulators have a very important function, but in many cases they might also be causing people to not say they're not happy or they're not well.
I think that the most important factor in here that we're trying to achieve is that people could be possibly part of the regulatory process, that people can reach to regulators and can we work together to humanize regulation so the regulation fit people and their design around people, not the other way around. So we really want to help regulators to understand our world as well, and we also need to understand their position.
What is the state of well-being in aviation now, 2022?
At the moment, I think, after what we've been through, there is no such a thing as like well-being. There is the hope that we can change things together. There is a desire to make people feel better, welcome into an organization, that they can work and perform and to profit the organization, but also for themselves, for their own family and for their own environment.
And there might be a bit of cynicism by some people listening to us about well-being is about, you know, boxes of bananas, cupcakes and what do they call it, resilience pizza. What do you really need organisations to do?
I think that well-being for, you know, the aviation industry and well-being how people knows it outside the industry, it's completely different. We're certainly not about cabbage and broccoli and going to the gym alone. Mm. We are more about operation and placing the human aspect within a very highly regulated industry and, you know, an automated system and a very technical and unique environment.
Tell me about the European Aviation Wellbeing Committee. What's its function?
I think the function of the committee is it's really to, as I said before, to bring people together, to reduce the gap between those who write regulation and the people and the management that want to work for, you know, the people and the people that do the job that mostly aren't seen. So really reduce the gap, bring them together and create an understanding, create an environment where people really collaborate to make our industry better.
What was the motivation for you to find it?
It was my own personal story, my personal struggles with mental health. And I came to the understanding that if you don't take responsibility for your own well-being, for your own mental health, and your choices to enter this industry, which is very highly driven and very stressful as well, then you're not going to be able to change your environment. So it starts from your own personal story, personal challenges.
Finally, what will be a measure of success for you for the conference today?
That we could just leave something into people's heart. That they can just leave this room and say, I feel something different. Like, you know, I've learned something today. I feel more. I sense more. You know, I want to be part of this. I want to help to change and to make this industry a better industry for myself and for the people around me. I just feel that it's really important that as a committee, we invite people of all part of the industry, all field in the industry, whether they are in the ground or in the sky, to participate, to make their contribution, to talk about their own environment so that we can all understand each other, because often we don't do. We do different things. We're like in different planets. So we want to be united as one.
Valentina Fitzpatrick, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. Thank you.
In Air Corps news, the 57th Basic Helicopter Conversion Course began training in August of this year. This course is designed to give a qualified fixed-wing military pilot the competence and skill set required to fly rotary-wing aircraft. Well, last week, the 57th BHCC completed their first helicopter solo flights, which is a significant milestone in their flying career, and led them nicely into the next phase of their training involving advanced helicopter handling. Well, let's head back to the Pilot Career Live event in Croke Park, and Mark Dwyer dropped in on the presentation by the Irish Air Corps there.
I would encourage you, as Karen said, to come to us at the stall and join by John, James and Shane, both phenomenal guys, all phenomenal guys, so do drop over, ask us any questions. I've only got so much time, but thank you very much for your attention.
Captain Niall Dungan is my name. I'm a flying instructor in the flying school in the Irish Air Corps, currently instructing on the Pilatus PC-9 aircraft, and I'm the chief simulator instructor there also.
And you did a really good presentation there. If you just maybe give us a quick overview of the Wings course and what's involved for anyone that's listening now that didn't get a chance to visit the show today.
The Wings course is how we train the people to become military pilots, and most of that flying training takes place in Baldonnell. So I suppose just to go back to step one of the process, typically the cadetship competition is advertised in the summer, around about the time that the leaving cert is finishing up, so kind of June to July. It will be advertised on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, our social media platforms. So you'd apply online and then enter into there's several stages of the competition, ranging from starting with psychometric testing at home, then on to stage two, which would be further psychometric testing in Baldonnell, things like psychomotor testing, things like personality tests, hand-eye coordination, all these kind of things that we'll test in-house, in addition to a physical fitness test. So a run, a certain amount of push-ups and a certain amount of sit-ups in a minute, and a group assessment, which is where we'll put pilot candidates, give them a task and see how they interact with each other in terms of teamwork skills, maybe leadership skills, how clear they communicate, and that kind of thing. So that's, I suppose, the second stage. The third stage will be coming into Baldonnell for the simulator assessment, which is done in the PC-9. And then also a psychologist interview, so an interview with a psychologist. If you're successful there, that would see you through to the final stage, which is the final interview with a board of four or five, and then a medical assessment before hopefully starting the cadetship in September or October of that year.
And then the course itself then, so you go to the Curragh for a bit to do the military training, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So our Air Corps pilot cadets go to the Curragh camp, the Defence Force Training Centre in Kildare, and they will carry out military officer training there in parallel with Army officers and Navy officers. And so the Air Corps cadets, the intention is for next year's recruitment, so those applying in 2023, that they'll conduct 10 months of training down in the Curragh before coming back to Baldonnell. At that stage, they'll start into their ground school studies. So that's all 14 ATPL subjects taught in-house, essentially 9 to 5 by flying training school instructors. And that will take about 7 to 8 months. So about 10 months in the Curragh and then about 8 months in the ground school, and then essentially you're into the flying phase. With a couple of bits of training in between, like the technical training for the PC-9, anti-G training, survival training, hypoxia training, and simulator training. So I guess I didn't mention that the intention, as I said, for next year is that our student pilots will be commissioned as officers after finishing their ground school training. So that would see you being commissioned after 10, 18, about 19 months of training. So the Curragh training, the ground school training, and then also a command and leadership block. And then that would see you conducting your flying training as an officer, as such. Essentially, after completing the course, our pilots can state their preference as to whether they'd rather to stick with fixed-wing aircraft and continue flying down that path, or if they'd like to convert onto helicopters and carry out the helicopter conversion course. So if you were to go down that route, you'd most likely be conducting the helicopter conversion course on the EC-135, which is our training aircraft in 302 Squadron. That course takes approximately 6 months, and that would see you then qualified as both fixed-wing and helicopter pilot. And then you could remain operating the 135 operationally, or at that point, or later on, progress onto the Gusta Weston 139 medium utility aircraft, which is operated by 301 Squadron. So they're the aircraft number three operations wing. The other avenue of moving towards the fixed-wing side of the house would be either potentially onto 104 Squadron, which as of 2020 operates 4 Pilatus PC-12 NG Spectre aircraft, or potentially the Learjet is operated by 102 Squadron, Learjet 45, and then also our Maritime Patrol Squadron, 101 Squadron, which currently operates 2 CASA CN-235s, but as of next year they're going to be replaced by CASA CN-295s. So there's lots of new aircraft coming to the Air Corps, so particularly number one operation at the moment is very new and high-tech aircraft coming in, so it's an exciting time to be qualifying in that respect.
For anyone listening that wants more information about the Air Corps, where can they get that?
Military.ie has massive amount of information, so everything I've said should be up there. But in addition to that, all of our social media channels, absolutely all of our social media channels, if anyone wants to subscribe, follow, you'll get all of our updates and also see the advertisements for the catch-up next year. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I think TikTok actually as well now, so do please follow up and like those pages.
Okay, no, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Mark.
AerCap Holdings announced this week that it has signed lease agreements with the TUI Group to lease 3 Embraer E195-E2 aircraft, scheduled to begin delivery from March through to May 2023. The aircraft, powered by Pratt & Whitney GTF engines, will be the first E195-E2 to enter TUI's fleet. AerCap was the launch leaser customer of Embraer's E-Jets E2 program in 2019 and has 45 Embraer E190-E2s and E195-E2s owned and on order. Operating on short and medium haul routes, the aircraft uses less fuel and has more extended range, while at the same time, it's 50% quieter and emits up to a third less carbon dioxide. The airplanes will operate primarily out of Antwerp. Ireland is leading the way in the drone industry, according to Julie Garland, founder and CEO of Avtrain. The company has signed a memorandum of understanding with Sprite to collaborate on EASA pilot and operator training and certification. Sprite is creating a drone-based healthcare-specific delivery network for those impacted by a lack of immediate or timely access to healthcare resources. The project will start with the first flights planned for later in 2022. Julie Garland explains.
So it's fantastic. Sprite are a division of Air Methods in the US, and Air Methods is one of the largest medevac companies in the US, operating over 500 helicopters. They set up Sprite as their unmanned aircraft to look at critical medical supplies and the movement of critical medical supplies around by unmanned aircraft. So they are coming to Europe. They've set up a company in Ireland, and we'll be going through their existing operator, they're operating the wing copter at the moment, and we'll be doing their certification with them in order to start looking towards the critical medical delivery supplies. We've been talking to providers in Ireland. The whole ecosystem in Ireland is super excited about it. We're looking at it's probably a Q4 this year will be the first flights, late Q3 into Q4. We're going through the certification process with the pilots, and we're going to start with the training into the European. These are existing pilots in the US, and they'll be coming over, and there'll be job generation, and we'll be looking at local pilots as well as pilots coming over who are already familiar with the aircraft, and it's bringing new aircraft types into Ireland as well.
Staying with drone news, Alphabet, owners of Google and their subsidiary Wing, have confirmed Lusk in North County Dublin as the location of its small-scale demonstration of a drone delivery operation in Ireland. This launch is a small step for Wing in Ireland and will look different from the commercial services they now operate in Finland, Australia and the United States. Lusk, about 20 kilometres north of Dublin city centre, is also close to Balbriggan, where Irish drone delivery company Manna is already running a pilot scheme. Aer Lingus has been announced as the official airline of Paralympics Ireland and will support Team Ireland as they prepare for and compete in the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. The two-year agreement sees Aer Lingus partner with Paralympics Ireland, having supported athletes, coaches and officials throughout the postponed 2020 Tokyo Games. They'll also fly Team Ireland to the Paralympic Games, which take place in Paris from August 28th to September 8th, 2024. We're back with more news after this short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, here on Squawk 7000, we're very proud to bring you the news once a week. But a man who does the news once a day is with me, Trevor Buckley. Your aviation newsletter is a fantastic source of information.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I developed it back after 9/11, after the go up to the low-cost carriers. I initially set it up internally within SR Technics as a low-cost news, focusing on Ryanair and EasyJet after the growth of the low-cost carriers after September 11th.
Where do you get your information from? Like, I'd love to know the process. How does it start?
I've just developed the process over the last 10 years and just finally tuned it to what people want over a few specific topics, with aircraft related to Ireland first, and then the key global news, and then the key Irish aviation news every day, and then the key tweets and a couple of videos on it every day of key of global events. Just of what's relevant to Ireland, the key macro and micro events that are relevant to the Irish aviation sector. So just fine-tuning it over the years.
Any idea how many people follow that news every day now?
It goes out on the Flying in Ireland website every day, and plus I have my own internal mails as well. So I reckon around between 1,000 and 2,000 people a day, I reckon.
That's a substantial figure. Yes. What are the stories that are catching people's attention? And I suppose with somebody like yourself who's been able to keep an eye on the news every single day in aviation, how is it looking?
The growth of the Irish Airlines in particular, with Ryanair, with their new aircraft deliveries, with the leasing companies in Ireland, with their developments, with all the ancillary companies around the MRO, aircraft asset management, and the engine side as well, and the software side and the travel side with companies like CarTrawler and that, for example. There's a constant developments always in the pipeline.
Is it healthy?
Yeah, very healthy. It's very good to see the industry continuously evolving every week. You can see it's continuously moving forward every week. Also with the key Irish people in aviation as well, like Alan Joyce and Qantas Willie Walsh and the DG of IASA. So there's constantly developments going on led by the Irish people in aviation. And
so we could definitely call you the man with the finger on the pulse of Irish aviation. If people want to read your letter, obviously it's on flyinginireland.com, but they can also subscribe to it.
Yeah, they can subscribe free of charge just to my email address at trevor800@gmail.com, and I'd gladly add them to the newsletter. It's completely free of charge to subscribe.
And then, of course, they can also listen to our news once a week. Trevor, thanks for chatting to us on Squawk 7000.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you.
Air Trade Aviation, the aviation technical asset service and trading company, has had a busy 2 years. Their headcount has increased by 140%, and they've welcomed new team members worldwide from Dallas to Dublin to Lithuania. As the aviation industry started to rebuild after the first wave of the pandemic, the organization stepped up its planned program of investment and growth. Additional resources have spearheaded 4 new satellite locations for AirTrade, including 1 new office and warehouse in Dallas, Texas, and a significant expansion in Ireland. They've also ramped up their aircraft disassembly activities at their dedicated facility in Knock, Ireland West, focusing on Airbus and Boeing aircraft. These factors have also seen AirTrade increase its warehouse capacity by a further 115,000 square feet and the opening of its new engine teardown facility in Dublin. CDB Aviation, a wholly owned Irish subsidiary of China Development Bank Financial Leasing Company Limited, have joined leading leasers, airlines and airports on Heart Aerospace's Industry Advisory Board. The aim is to advance the development of hybrid electric regional aviation with the ES-30. The 30-seat Heart ES-30 has the potential to replace current generation regional aircraft with zero emissions hybrid technology within the decade. This regional aircraft, with a seating capacity of 30 passengers, will be powered by a combination of electric power and sustainable aviation fuel. The ES-30 will have a fully electric, zero-emission range of 200 kilometres, with the flexibility of up to 800 kilometres as a hybrid. And Dynam Aviation Ireland Limited has announced the appointment of 2 senior executives. Rory Hensey has been appointed head of technical with the responsibility to develop and lead the lessor's technical team, and this will include managing Dynam's existing assets, technical negotiation, deliveries and redeliveries. Brian Gallagher has been appointed General Counsel and will oversee the leaser's legal matters, including aircraft leasing contracts, trading and other related activities. These appointments follow the recent announcement of Barbara Pentany as Head of Operations and increase the headcount of their Dublin office to 6 people. Finally, for those that love numbers and statistics, some from Aer Lingus and their transatlantic operations from Manchester, Aer Lingus Chief Customer Officer Suzanne Carberry shared these numbers. Over the last 12 months, Aer Lingus has flown across the Atlantic 1,340 times to and from Manchester. Passengers travelling in the airline's economy class have enjoyed more than 150,000 cups of tea and coffee. Cabin crew members have served up to 350,000 meals. And passengers have tuned in to over 750,000 hours of movies, TV programmes and entertainment on Aer Lingus' in-flight entertainment system while flying across the Atlantic. Remember, if you have aviation news that you'd like to share with us, include us in your emails and send your stories to news@squawk7000.ie.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.